Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Y'all doing good? Having a good morning so far? All right. Well, I'm excited because we're just days away from Christmas. And I believe that God has just some powerful truths today for you as we look at some of these gifts of Christmas. My wife and I, we have a saying, and we use it all the time. We'll say, that's a labor of love. Like when one of us, you know, makes a sacrifice and for the other person, we'll say, that's a labor of love. I can't believe you changed that diaper. Wow. Like that's a labor of love. I can't believe you did that, you know, that project, whatever. That's a labor of love. And we've said this so many times over the almost 20 years of marriage. We now just say, that's love. Wow, that's love. Can't believe you did that. That's love. And my wife said this to me just recently. It was a Saturday, and my wife had a list, a Walmart list. And I don't know, does anybody here just despise going to Walmart? See, she's raising her hand, first one up. Especially during the holidays, right? I mean, even worse is to go to Walmart on a Saturday during the Christmas season. You know, I don't mean to make light of this, but I think the first case of depression started and was discovered inside of a Walmart. I believe it. So I was like, all right, you know, give me the list, I'll go. And she's like, wow, you'd do that for me, really? Like, you'd go to Walmart? I was like, yeah, it's no big deal, I'll go. And the reason is because I am the one who is really being loved right now. The way we do gifts in our home and in our family, I explain it this way. My wife goes out, she buys all the gifts, she writes my name on the tag, and then she fills me in later. You know, it's like husband perks right there, hashtag blessed. So I am the one that is truly loved. And the reason why, you know, I kind of share some of these stories this morning is because one of the gifts of Christmas, one of the gifts that God wants to give you today is the gift of His love. And here at Hope, we have been unwrapping some of these gifts of Christmas. And we've been looking at four gifts of Christmas. They're up on the screen. The gift of hope, the gift of joy, the gift of peace. And today, we're looking at the gift of love. The Bible has a word that it uses for love, and when Jesus would talk about love, he would use this word too. It's the Greek word agape. How many of you have heard that before? Agape love. Yeah, a lot of us in this room. What is agape love? Agape love is sacrificial love, and it hinges on this idea that to truly love someone is to make a sacrifice. It hinges on this idea that love is costly. It is a labor of love. And when I see Jesus, when I see our Savior in the manger, I can't help but say, that's love. Love came down on that very first Christmas morning. And so as we look at this Christmas story, it's such a powerful reminder of God's incredible love for us. The whole Christmas story can be summed up in this, that God loves you. And His love is the key to everything in your life. Do you know today that God loves you? And that's what I want to talk about today. One of the gifts of Christmas is God's love. So what I want to show you today and what we want to talk about is I want to talk about how much God loves you. And I want to show you maybe how God's love can transform your life. Through an experience of His love, God can transform your life. It's what the Christmas season is all about. So we're going to pray, we're going to dive in, and I believe this is going to be a powerful morning. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. As we look at your love, I think we've all heard this saying, oh, God loves you. And I just pray today that that wouldn't just be a saying. I pray that that wouldn't just be a thought in our heads. I ask through the Holy Spirit that we would have a powerful experience of the fullness of your love down to the depths of our heart and our soul. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm excited what God has for you here. If you want to know the heart of Christmas, what's the heart of Christmas? If you want to know the heart of Christmas, it's really simple. The Christmas story tells you that you are loved. Think about that. The Christmas story tells you today that you are loved. So as you're out and about, as you're looking at Christmas lights, as you're listening to Christmas music, you're sitting around the tree opening gifts with family and friends, I want you to remember this year that the Christmas story tells you that you are loved. God loves you. And if you want to know how much God loves you, you don't have to look any further than the story of Christmas. Because the story of Christmas tells you today that you are loved. And this whole concept, this whole idea of the incarnation of Jesus is really proof of God's love for you. As much as the cross and the resurrection and Jesus doing all that, the incarnation, as much as that, is proof of God's love for you. What is the incarnation? What does that mean? We hear it a lot around Christmas time. The incarnation literally means to take on flesh. And it's this breathtaking idea that God the Son took on human flesh. So this baby that's born in a manger on the very first Christmas is not just a baby. This is actually God in human form. Think about that. Isn't that kind of a mind-blowing idea? This idea of the incarnation. Listen to these familiar verses from the Christmas story. Matthew chapter 1. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." That's why Jesus came. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. God with us. Think about it. The Bible is clear. This baby born in a manger on the very first Christmas, it's not just a baby in a manger. This is God with us. Think about that. This is a God who loves you so much that he came to rescue you from your sins. Because of our sin, we were never going to get to God. I was never going to make it. But isn't it amazing that in Jesus, God came to be with us? That's the beauty of the Christmas story. And God does it in the most amazing way possible. He takes on human flesh. God comes down. He enters the story. He walks in our shoes. God with us. So if you think about it, the miracle of Christmas, it's not that we first loved God. The miracle of Christmas is that God first loved us. I love how John says it. Listen to what John writes in 1 John 4:9. Such a powerful scripture. John says, John is one of the eyewitnesses of Jesus. So John is somebody who saw this, he experienced this, and he wrote about it. He says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins." How do we know that God loves us? What does John say? He says, "This is how you know that God loves you. God sent his Son into the world." That's pretty amazing. That's how much God loved you. God took on human flesh. God became human. And if any of you here today don't think that's love, how many of you would go back to being a baby? Anybody? Anybody want to go back to that, being a baby? All right. Every once in a while, when I'm sick, like I'm feeling a little sick, got a little cold, I turn into a baby, okay? But I would never want to go back. Would anyone here ever relive middle school? I don't think so. If we as adults would not go back, I just want you to think about something for a second. What would that mean for God to become human? Next time you see a baby in a manger, just think about who that is. Isn't that amazing? See, if God didn't love you, he never would have done that. This is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us. There's no greater proof of God's love for you than the Christmas story, because he came to be with you. He loved you first. It's the message of Christmas. The Christmas story tells you today that you are loved. Think about that. I heard a great story this week. It was a story about a 5-year-old boy who went to a courthouse in Grand Rapids, Michigan, to finalize his adoption with his two parents that had been fostering him for over a year. And for an adoptive family, that's a moment you're never going to forget. Many of us in this room have adopted, fostered. Think about that moment. Even for our own family, we just celebrated our finalization. We celebrate Chosen Day. We celebrate these moments. So it was a very special day for this 5-year-old boy named Michael. But it was extra special for him because on this day, on the day of his finalization at this courthouse, in this courtroom, Michael's entire kindergarten class showed up. How cool is that? And this is the picture of that day. They finalized his adoption, and you can see Michael's kindergarten class. They're all back there in the seats and the audience, and they're all waving these big red hearts mounted on wooden sticks. And Michael's dad said his favorite part of the whole day, the whole experience, was when the judge asked if anybody would be willing to share what Michael meant to them. And many of the kids, many of the kindergartners in Michael's class began to speak up, and they just said, "I love Michael. Michael is my best friend." Isn't that amazing? And when the judge hit the gavel to finalize that adoption, there wasn't a dry eye in the room. How do you think Michael felt when his whole kindergarten class showed up that day? How do you think he felt? He felt loved, right? The miracle of Christmas is that God showed up. He showed up for you. That's the story of Christmas. Christmas story very simply tells you, without a doubt, that you are loved. He showed up for you. He showed up for Rahab. He showed up first. Before we ever loved God, he was there, and he was loving you. That's God's love for you. I think our challenge as Christians is, as so many of us know about God's love, but it's such a struggle sometimes to experience that. How do you experience God's love, not just know about it? And what I want to share with you today is just this idea that I've been thinking about is that Christmas happens once a year, but you can experience God's love every single day. This gift of Christmas, the gift of God's love, it is a powerful, powerful thing. It's a powerful truth. God came for you. He loves you. But listen, Christmas is just once a year, but God's love, you can experience that every day of your life. Did you know that? And maybe some of you are here today and you've never had an encounter with God's love in a way that completely changed your life. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if you've never received God's love for you, the very first thing to do is today is just to receive that love and to entrust your life to Jesus Christ. How do you know God loves you? As what we've seen today is that you know God loves you, first of all, because Jesus came for you. God became a man. Love came down from heaven as a labor of love, as a sacrifice for you and for your salvation. That's how much God loves you. And so I'm inviting you today, maybe for the very first time, to open up your heart and to open up your life and to receive Jesus Christ. Say, God, I need your love. Maybe the one thing today hindering you from saying yes to God's love is just pride. A proud heart doesn't receive love. Some of us struggle with that. So just like Jesus humbled himself in love for you today, I want to encourage you to humble yourself and to say, God, I need your love. I need Jesus Christ in my life. And even today, you can begin to confess your sin and to invite and to say yes to Jesus Christ. Say, God, I want to receive your love. Thank you for your love. Thank you for going to the cross, to die on the cross for my sins. John said, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Do you want to receive Christ today into your life? See, if God didn't love you, he never would have sent your son. I love the way that John puts it in 1 John 4:9. He says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. He sent his one and only son into the world. Why? So that we might come alive, so that we might live through him, so that love would awaken us. And when you receive God's love, it literally brings new life to your soul. It awakens your heart, and you can begin a brand new life with God. And life with God is called eternal life because it's a life that starts today and it lasts forever. And maybe today, this is the very beginning of you experiencing the meaning of Christmas, which is Emmanuel, God with you. And you can begin that relationship today. Verse 10 says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And so listen, what I'm talking about today, it's not about how much you love God. It's not about trying to impress God in some way or being religious or trying to earn his love like you could maybe earn his love for you. It's not about any of those things because it's not about us loving God. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. He loved us first and he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And if you will say yes to that today, love will change your life. It will change your life, being loved by God. And yet I think many of us here today, we've heard this, we've grown up in the church, you know, oh, God loves you, God loves you. And yet so many of us, we wrestle and we struggle to experience God's love. And what I want to encourage you today is that one of the gifts of Christmas is the gift of God's love for you. And Christmas maybe just comes once a year, but you can experience God's love for you every single day. I remember as a teenager and going to a youth camp. I don't know if any of you ever went to a youth camp with your church as a teenager. Those are some powerful moments. And I was with two of my friends, two of my bros. We went, and the pastor was speaking about the love of God. And we were just, me and my two buddies, it's teenagers, were so overwhelmed by God's love for us. I wish you could have seen us. We were singing, we were responding, and we were bawling our eyes out. We were arms wrapped around each other, just being like, God loves me. It was so amazing. It was a powerful experience of God's love that day. I'll never forget that. Me and two dudes, like arms wrapped around each other, crying as teenage guys. True story, it happened. But since then, and over the course of my Christian life, if I'm just honest, I've really struggled to experience God's love. Now, really, one of the hardest things for me to believe is to believe that God loves me. And I know if I'm struggling as a pastor to believe that God would love me, I know there's many people in this room who go, you know, I struggle too. Some days I struggle to believe that God loves me. And maybe one of the greatest struggles that many of us experience, many of us are afraid to talk about, is to believe that God actually truly loves every one of us. And there could be a lot of reasons for that. It could be, you know, at some point in your life, maybe you experienced rejection. And it's hard to receive love because of that rejection. And maybe you had a father who never said, I love you. Maybe you were abused as a child in a way that was disguised as love, or it was confused as love. Maybe it's what we talked about earlier. Maybe it's pride in the heart. I struggle to receive that love. Maybe it's just a lack of spirituality, where you're not spending time with God. It could be unconfessed sin. And the sin is blocking your experience of God's love in your life. There's a lot of reasons why we struggle to experience God's love. But I know one thing. I know that God wants you to experience his love. And I want to encourage you today to press into the love of God and to begin to experience his love for you and to allow his love to change your life. There's some great scriptures that have encouraged me that I just want to share with you. Both these encouragements come in the form of a prayer, which I think we want to pay attention to. Last week we looked at peace, and those peace passages were coming out of prayers. So we want to pay attention to that. Prayer might be the secret to experiencing more of God's love. And so we can pray these prayers. Here's one of them. It comes from 2 Thessalonians 3:5. This is great. I was praying this for all of us here today. 2 Thessalonians 3:5 says, "May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God." Isn't that a powerful prayer? May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. I just love that. Oh, God, today, would you direct my heart into your love? God, I'm praying for my son. I'm praying for my daughter. God, would you direct his heart into your love? Would you direct her heart into your love? So we'll begin to pray this. God, I need your help. Direct my heart into your love today. It's a powerful prayer. Or how about Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3? This is another mind-blowing passage of Scripture. Ephesians 3, Paul says, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love." So what establishes love? It's Jesus. It's his birth, the incarnation, his death on a cross, the resurrection. We are rooted and established in love. But then he says, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. What would it mean to grasp something that's beyond knowledge? It's not just a head knowledge thing. It's talking about grasping something in our heart, in our soul, grasping the depth and the width and the height and the weight and the power and the fullness of God's love for you. It's real. And you can experience that today. Paul is, in fact, praying for us that we would have that experience. And you can begin to pray that too for yourself and for others. And I just pray today that you would have an experience by the power of the Holy Spirit of the fullness of his love for you every single day. It's one of the gifts of Christmas. Christmas comes once a year, but his love can be experienced every day. I recently came across one of the prayers of Soren Kierkegaard. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Kierkegaard. I actually first came across Kierkegaard back in college. Kierkegaard was a Danish philosopher in the early 19th century. And I went to a secular college and took a lot of philosophy classes, a lot of philosophy of religion classes. I was a new believer at the time, and I just thought, I want to hear every argument against Christianity. I took a lot of philosophy of religion, and guess what? Jesus held up just fine. He can handle himself. So I was in this philosophy of religion class, and we were looking at a lot of different philosophies on God and religion. We looked at Freud and atheistic. We looked at, just all these different philosophies. And as part of this, we read Soren Kierkegaard, and he showed us the position of faith. So he is this great philosopher and thinker. But I recently came across one of his prayers, and it blew my mind. Because it's based on this passage we've been reading today out of 1 John 4:10. And in this prayer, what we see is that God's love for us is not just a historical event that happened one time in the past, but that God's love is a present reality that we can experience every single day. So I want to read this prayer of Kierkegaard, because I really believe that prayer is a powerful way for us to begin to press into God's love. And what you're going to hear in this prayer is that God's love is not just something that happened in a past. It's not just a baby in a manger, although it is that, and that roots us and establishes us. But God is actually loving us first every moment of every day. So let me read this prayer for you as we close our time together. Here's the prayer from Soren Kierkegaard. You have loved us first, O God. Alas, we speak of it in terms of history, as if you've only loved us first but a single time, rather than that without ceasing. You've loved us first many times and every day and our whole life through. Wow. When we wake up in the morning and turn our soul toward you, you are the first, you've loved us first. If I rise at dawn and at the same second turn my soul toward you in prayer, you're there ahead of me. You've loved me first. When I withdraw from the distractions of the day and turn my soul toward you, you are the first and thus forever. And yet we always speak ungratefully, as if you've loved us first only once. Isn't that a powerful thought? Before you woke up this morning, God was already there, loving you first. before you got the bad news, before the heartache, before the pain, before the difficulty, before that ever happened. He was already there, loving you first. You pause in the day and your mind goes to think about God. He was there, and he is there, loving you first and always. Think about that. It's one of the gifts of Christmas. It's the gift of God's love for you. His love is not just a historical event that only happened once. It is a present reality for you every single day of your life. And I pray today that you will begin to experience the fullness of his love for you. I pray that it will not just be an idea in your head, but that it would be a reality in your heart, that it would sink deeper and deeper. His love would come alive and awaken in your soul. It's a mind-blowing truth today. I want to leave you with it. God is there loving you right now. Let me pray. God, thank you for loving us so much. You sent your son into the world. It's an overwhelming thought that you were loving us before we ever loved you. Before we ever did anything right or wrong, good or bad, you were already there loving us. And you sent your son Jesus into the world. And you took on humanity. Because you loved us that much, you wanted to show up for us. And you lived a life we couldn't live. Ultimately, to lay down your life as a sacrifice for our sins on a cross. Even as you were wrapped in the manger, in the loving arms of a mother, you would be wrapped one day in a tomb. As you made the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate labor of love in giving your life for us so that we can have a new life in a relationship with God. So I pray for each person here today, for those who feel unworthy of love, I pray for those who feel unlovable. I pray for those whose hearts maybe can't even feel love. They're so numb today. And I just pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that love would awaken in every person's heart. We receive the gift of Christmas. We receive the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for loving us so much that you showed up. You were present. Thank you, God. Help us to take that love and to carry it with us every single moment of every single day. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.